A sad but significant moment occurred for Congress today. Senator Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey died this morning after struggling with complications stemming from pneumonia. Lautenberg was 89 years old and the last World War II veteran serving in the Senate. He was the son of Polish and Russian immigrants and founded the payroll services company ADP. In 1982, Lautenberg became Democratic senator from New Jersey, where he championed health and safety laws. For instance, he wrote the law that banned smoking on domestic airline flights. For more on Senator Lautenberg's legacy and a look forward to what Congress will be dealing with in the coming weeks, let's turn to Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor. Ron, welcome.
Pleasure to be with you.
So let's first talk about Senator Lautenberg. Of course, he was elected in 82, retired in 2000, but regretted it and came back to the Senate 2 years later, telling the New York Times, quote, "To rest is to rot." So what are the issues, really, that the senator made his mark on?
The senator will, of course, always be remembered for that smoking ban on airplanes, which is now so much part of our lives, it's really hard to imagine it was ever different. He cared a great deal about a range of health issues, battled cancer himself quite recently in his mid-80s, defeated it and was declared cancer-free. But he said when he had cancer, he realized just how important health insurance could be, and he was a big factor in passing the Affordable Care Act in 2009-2010 that we now know as Obamacare. Mm-hmm. He also cared a great deal about other safety issues such as guns. He particularly made an issue of the size of ammo clips, those high-capacity ammo clips that were such a factor in the Newtown shootings. And he pushed hard for that legislation, came back from what turns out to have been his own deathbed to cast a crucial vote on the gun bill earlier this spring. Of course, it ultimately failed in that particular go-round, but Frank Lautenberg was not going to have it fail on his vote. He made it back to cast his last Senate vote on that issue.
Wow. And you know, he also recently announced to me, because of the health issues that you were talking about, that he would not seek re-election in 2014. So in a way, an era post-Lautenberg was in the works in New Jersey, and Republican Governor Chris Christie is going to appoint Senator Lautenberg's replacement. So who are the likely contenders?
He has a range of Republicans he could look at, and you will also hear people say he might appoint someone who is not a Republican, an independent perhaps, or a Democrat, in order to cement his appeal across party lines. He himself is running for re-election in November. I think we can pretty much count on him appointing a Republican. After all, he does still want to carry the Republican vote in New Jersey, and he also wants to look at greater ambitions on the national stage down the road, and he doesn't want to alienate Republicans going into 2016. Some of the people he could look at would include his party's Senate candidates in 2006 and in 2012. In 2006, it was the son of former Governor Tom Kaine Jr. And in 2012, it was Joe Kirilos, who is a close associate of Christie's own, somebody who would certainly be seen as his loyal lieutenant. But whomever he appoints will have to then stand again in November to be elected, just as Chris Christie himself is running for re-election as governor.
Hmm. And one last thought about Senator Lautenberg. I'd note that he was a frequent critic of the tobacco industry and was also one of the key figures that set the national minimum drinking age at 21. So this is all harkening back to a time where Congress actually passed stuff. So let's talk a little bit about what Congress has on its plate, because lawmakers are back from the Memorial Day recess. They're back today. And the Washington Post points out that they're kicking off a rare four-week stretch, the second time that's happened all year, Ron?
That's right. They're going to run all the way up to the 4th of July recess. In fairness to Congress, while we call these recesses, in some cases they go on junkets, they go overseas, they go on vacation, but in many cases they do go back to their districts and states and work pretty hard trying to meet with their constituents, trying to get their marching orders from them, and also, of course, to raise money and campaign for their own next reelection. In the next 4 weeks, though, they are going to have to try to tackle some of these issues, and the one we're expecting on the substantive side, that is, on the legislative side, is immigration, where the Senate's been making progress and where New York Senator Chuck Schumer promised yesterday, or at least predicted, that a bill would emerge from the Senate floor consideration now underway by July 4th. And then over on the House side, well, things aren't progressing quite so quickly.
Mm, yeah, I'm reading that House Republicans are vowing to put a stop to it. But on the Senate side again, Florida Republican Marco Rubio said today that the immigration bill, which he did support in the Senate committee, he says it must be changed or it will not pass. So, I mean, this was the one bill that I thought everyone was thinking might actually happen. So do you feel positive or pessimistic about it?
It does seem to be the one piece of legislation most likely to pass that really matters and is meaningful this year. And Senator Rubio is saying, because he's getting so much heat from his own conservative base and from other conservatives around the country, that it will have to be clearer who will be responsible for guaranteeing that the borders are secure before the path to citizenship that is so much at the heart of this bill actually goes into effect. And he is saying it ought to be Congress and not President Obama or any president. That's popular with his base. It's part of his attempt to bring more Republicans on board. They need 2/3 or better, really, in the Senate to give the bill momentum as it goes into the House, where the real problem lies.
Mm. Well, tomorrow we are going to see Congress hear about something completely different, because a group of military service chiefs are going to testify before the Senate Armed Services Committee, which has 7 female senators on it. They'll be talking about the deep problem of sexual assault in the military. Ron, what should we expect there?
Big questions about the culture of the military, whether or not women have really been accepted into the culture of the military, or whether or not the attitudes that prevailed for so long that held women out entirely or restricted their roles or kept them out of combat are still so much in place that the military really can't deal with its own sexual assault problem. The military justice system is built around punishing crime, built around trying to be very efficient about dealing with people who are bad actors in the military, shouldn't be in the military, or committing crimes of one kind or another, usually having to do with either violence or some kind of theft, not so much sexual assault crimes. And this has not really been a focus for military justice in the past, at times, of course, but not nearly to the degree that it needs to be now. And these women senators who have gravitated to the Senate Armed Services Committee, there are 20 women in the Senate overall, but they're very well represented on this particular committee, they are focusing on that cultural question and that justice question and asking, are we really welcoming women into our military?
Well, Ron Elving is NPR's senior Washington editor, giving us a preview of what Congress has coming up in the coming days and weeks. Ron, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, listeners, stick with us, because before we go today, how close can you get to a whale? Close enough for one humpback to have tapped a photographer on the shoulder. We'll hear how that happened. You're listening to Here and Now.